So, who is Lord Ramchandra? Lord Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he appears in different incarnations. He descends. And Lord Ramchandra is one of his incarnations. As it has been described in Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan Nana Avataram Aparod Bhumaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramahupumanjo Govindam Adi Purusham Pamayam. Ram Adi Murti Shu, Lord, incarnations like Lord Ramchandra are Kala Niyamena Tishthana. Kala means the expansions of the Supreme Personality. He expands. These expansions are called Swamsa. There are two types of expansions. The Lord has two types of expansions. Swamsa and Bibhinnamsa. Bibhinnamsa means expansions of his parts and parcels. Like we are his Bibhinnamsa expansion. We are also expansions of the Lord, but we are his parts and parcels, minute parts. Expansions in the form of his minute parts and parcels. Whereas the incarnations are his expansion in totality. Like this has been exemplified in a way, like just consider as one sun. In the sky, we see one sun. Now this sun, one sun became two suns, three suns, 10, 20 suns, 100 suns. Like the same, maintaining the, it's just the sun in totality. Sun itself is expanding, one to two, two to four, and so. So incarnations are like that. The Lord expands himself. And his rays, the rays are coming out from the sun. The rays are very minute parts of the sun. Now ours, we are like those rays. And the incarnations are like the expansion of the sun. And now the question is, why does the Lord expand? The Lord expands, as Krishna himself said in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya, yes, glanir bhavati bharata. When there is a decline of religious principles, dharmasya glanir, and abhutthanam adharmasya. Dharma means the laws given by the Lord. When we abide by the laws given by the Lord, then there is peace and prosperity everywhere. But when there is a decline of that law and order, when people don't abide by the laws and start to act independently, whimsically, then what happens to the society? The total breakage of law and order is called anarchy. Anarchy. So, adharmasya glani or adharma is something like anarchy in this world. No law and order. Not abiding by the laws given by the Lord. Rather, they create their own law. Then Krishna is saying, at that time, I descend myself. I come down here to re-establish the dharma or to re-establish the law and order. But then Krishna is saying, paritranaya sadhunam vinashayaca dushyatam. In order to deliver the saintly personalities, sadhus, law-abiding individuals. Sadhus are those who abide by the law, laws given by the Lord. They are sadhus. And those who are obedient to the Lord, those who are obedient to Krishna and abide by Krishna's law and order, they are called sadhus or saintly. And those who don't abide by the laws of the Lord, those who do not follow the dharma given by the Lord, they are called duskritinaha, miscreants, outlaws, miscreants. So in our society also see, the government gives the law, the government gives the law, and those who abide by the laws given by the government, they live peacefully, happily. And those who don't, what happens? Police comes and catches them. They are judged in the court and then they are punished. So Krishna does that. Paritrana to deliver the sadhus and to annihilate. Vinashaya. Vinashaya means destroy, annihilate. Duskritam, those who are miscreants. Now in this respect, Prabhupada is saying that to punish or to annihilate or to take care of the miscreants, Krishna doesn't need to come. Material nature herself can take care of them. Durga can take care of them. Kali can take care of them. That's what they are doing. We see Kali is chopping the heads of people. Who are those people? Those are miscreants. Durga is killing Mahishasura with the trident. Who are they? Miscreants. So Krishna doesn't really have to come to annihilate the demons, because that can be done by his agents. But Krishna comes in order to paritranaya sadhunam, to deliver the sadhus. But then again Prabhupada is saying not to deliver. Because the sadhus are delivered by the Lord's arrangement already. The Vishnu Dutas are patrolling all over, like we saw Ajami. Just they chanted the name of the Lord, also unconsciously, and immediately Vishnu Dutas came. So those who are devotees of Krishna, Vishnu Dutas are always protecting them. So Krishna doesn't have to come to deliver them. Krishna comes to have a loving exchange with them. That is the real purpose of Krishna's coming. And those who are devotees, Krishna gives them an opportunity to directly associate with him. And by doing that, Krishna himself derives pleasure and those devotees also derive pleasure out of that exchange. And that is the real purpose of Krishna's coming. Therefore we see, you all remember when Brahma went to the milk ocean and prayed to the Lord to come and take care of the precarious condition of the earth. Then what did the Lord say? Tell the demigod, I'm coming, and tell the demigod to take birth in Jadu and Vrishni dynasty. Why? Because the Lord was going to appear in the Jadu dynasty, and as his relatives, they could associate. Similarly, when Lord Ramchandra, before Lord Ramchandra appeared, he also instructed the demigods that you appear as monkeys. He asked the demigods to appear as monkeys. And as monkeys, they had the association of the Lord. And as monkeys, they got the opportunity to serve the Lord in a most wonderful way. And also Lord descends in the family of his devotees. This is another consideration. Now, why does the Lord take birth He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't need to take birth. But still, sometimes some devotees want to have the Lord as their child, as their child, as their son. Therefore, the Lord fulfills their desire. Because one of the qualities of the Lord is the Bhaktavatsa. He fulfills the desire. He is very fond of his devotees. And whatever the devotees want, the Lord fulfills their desire. So the devotee said, I want you to be our son. You're fine. So the Lord appears as their son. So here the Lord appeared in a very special dynasty. In this incarnation as Lord Ramchandra, he appeared as a Kshatriya. And there, Kshatriya means the warrior class, the royalty. And there are two dynasties in this world. There are two original royal lineage. One is hailing from sun god, and the other is from moon god. Like from the sun god himself, the line started. Just as in Bhagavad Gita, fourth chapter, Krishna begins, Imam Vivashyati Yogam, Praptavan Aham Abhayam, Vivashwan. Who is Vivashwan? Vivashwan is the sun god. Vivashwan Manave Praho. Vivashwan imparted this knowledge unto Manu, his son. That is Vaivashyata Manu. In a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. The seventh Manu is Vaivashyata Manu. So Manave Praho. Then Manu's son is Ikshaku. So this line started. The sun dynasty. These are the original Kshatriya families. And in that respect, you can consider the royal family in Japan is considered to be the sun dynasty. They are still maintaining that heritage, coming from sun god. And the land is now known as Nippon, the land of sun. So Krishna appeared in the moon dynasty, Som Vamsa, Chandra Vamsa. But Lord Ramchandra appeared in the sun dynasty, Surya Vamsa. So Vivashyan's son is Manu, Vaivashyata Manu. Vaivashyata Manu's son is Ikshaku, Manur Ikshaku Vyabravi. In this way, the line started. So Lord Ramchandra appeared in the Ikshaku dynasty. And their capital was Ayodhya. That city is still there. Okay. Uttar Pradesh in India. The land is known as Koshal. In the land of Koshal, the capital is Ayodhya. And that Ayodhya city was actually established by Vaivashyata Manu for his son, Ikshaku. He became a son and he became the ruler of the entire earth planet. In this way, in this line, there are some very illustrious personalities like Aja, Raghu, and Raghu's son was Dasarath. And therefore, this line, the dynasty is also known as Raghu Vamsa. Lord Ramchandra is known as Raghuveer, the hero of the Raghu dynasty. So, Lord, he appeared as the son of King Dasarath. Dasarath also was ruling the entire earth planet. Actually, those days, one king used to rule the entire planet. There was one head, one king, one ruler. And he had his subordinate rulers. Not that only one king, there were many kings, But on top of all the kings, there used to be one. And he used to be considered to be the ruler of the entire earth planet, including the ocean. And that system was prevalent until 5,000 years ago. But then as Kali Yuga started, the whole structure started to become divided. The earth planet became divided. And now there is no ruler. And we got democracy. I'm sorry, democracy. So this is how, due to the influence of the age of Kali, the whole thing degenerated. But the real structure is that there is one king above all the other kings as the ruler of the earth. Like we see, like all the other planets have one ruler, like sun planet, one person ruling, as I mentioned, Vivashwan, sun god. Moon planet, one person. Brihaspati, Jupiter planet, one person, Brihaspati. Venus, Sukracharya. Mercury, Buddha, and this way. Different personalities are ruling over the different planets. So same was the case with Earth planet. It used to have one ruler. And Dasarath was the ruler at that time. But although Dasarath was the ruler of the planet, but he didn't have any children. He didn't have any son. So he consulted with his ministers. And who are the ministers? Those ministers were not elected by a popular vote. Those ministers were chosen, selected by the king according to their merits. And they were all Brahmanas. Ministers are Brahmanas, advisors. Ministers means advisors. And they used to guide the king. So much so that they say, for example, these ministers were expert, say for example, expert in astrology. And if the king had to go into a war with some other king, they would make astrological calculation and tell the king, don't attack him now. Attack him in such and such time. And when the stars and planets will be in your favor and victory will be yours. So this is how the kings used to be guided by the ministers. They all are Brahmanas, exalted, self-realized souls. And Prabhupada also wanted that. Prabhupada once had a meeting with Indira Gandhi, and Prabhupada went there with a proposal that the minister should be Brahmana. Not just by birth, but by qualification. And who are the qualified Brahmanas today? ISKCON devotees. Prabhupada himself said that there is no Brahmana in India. And that's why Prabhupada was importing the Brahmanas from America. So this is how the trained individuals with proper spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding, and these people can guide the kings or the rulers in a proper way. So, Prabhupada proposed that. Educated Brahmanas. And what is the qualification of Brahmanas? One of the qualifications of Brahmanas is that they won't take any salary. They won't take any money. They will simply give up vows. And the state will take care of them. Householders will take care of them. So the real Brahmanas will not take salary. You know who takes salary? Right, only Sudras take salary. Does a businessman take salary? Does a warrior take salary? Mercenaries take salary. That's another thing Prabhupada pointed out. Somebody told, oh Prabhupada, the military people, the soldiers, they're kshatriyas. Prabhupada said, no. At the most, they're mercenaries. Now, what is the difference between a kshatriya and a mercenary? Kshatriya won't fight. for money, whereas the mercenaries fight for money. Now all these Green Beret and all these American soldiers, if the American government stops paying them, will they fight for America?
No.
So that shows where they are. But the warrior will not take any money. He'll be independent. So much so that he'll go to some other king and say, look, I like your kingdom, give it to me. And if he refuses, he'll say, come, let's fight. And whoever wins, he will have the kingdom. So that's a kshatriya. And the brahmanas, they'll give advice, they'll give education, they'll teach, but in return they won't take any salary. They'll take dakshin, they'll take donations given to them as a recognition of their mercy, but they won't take any salary as such. So anyway, so when King Dasarath decided to have a son and told his minister, look, and who was his minister? Who was his, actually they were his gurus, Vasishtha, one of the greatest sages that the world has ever seen, Bamdev. So they advised that, look, perform a sacrifice called Putreshti Jati for the sake of getting a child. And so the yajna was performed, and from the sacrificial fire the Lord appeared, and the Lord told, I'm coming. And in this way he assured them, blessed them, and then came one person out with a pot of sweet rice. And he announced that he is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the agent of the Lord, Vishnu Dutta. And gave the pot. And King Dasarath had three wives, so he gave one half to the first wife, Kaushalya. Then he gave one fourth to his second wife, Sumitra. And then he gave 1/8 to his third wife, Kaikeyi. And then he gave the remaining 1/8 also to him. And as a result of that, Kaushalya gave birth to Lord Ramchandra, Sumitra gave birth to Lakshman, and Kaikeyi gave birth to Bharat and Shastri. So these are actually the Chaturbhuha of the Lord. You know that Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. So Vasudev appeared as Lord Ramchandra, Sankarshan appeared as Lakshman, and Bharat and Shatrughna were Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Now in course of time, King Dasharath wanted to make Lord Ramchandra as the crown prince, coronate him as the crown prince, as the successor to the throne. So the entire city, entire country was in ecstasy, except only one person. That is Kaikeyi's maidservant, Manthara. She was not only crooked in her mind, she was also crooked in her body. She had a hunchback. And so Manthara, Kaikeyi was excited. She was very, very happy that Ram is being coronated as well, because she treated Ram as her own son. But Manthara came and started to chastise her. That you're feeling happy? Do you know what's going to happen to you? And so in this way, she started to vitiate her mind. And she got affected by that. And Mathura was actually saying that actually Bharat should become the king, not Ram. Now there is a little background also. When Dasarath didn't have a child. So from first wife, from the second wife, he didn't get the child. So then he got married to the third wife, Kaikeyi. And one of the conditions was that her son became king. Because there was no other son, so naturally her son would become the king. But she did not take that so seriously after she got her son, whether he would become the king or not. But because her mind became vitiated, she started to wonder, how can I then have Bharat as a king? Because Ram, as the eldest brother, is a natural successor to the throne. And so Kaikeyi reminded that, look, when Dasarath was fighting against the demons on behalf of the demigods, then he got fatally injured, mortally injured. And then you treated him and cured him. So he became very pleased with you and asked you to take two bones. Ask for two. Ask anything. And at that time you refused to take it, saying, what is there I can desire? You have given me everything. So Dasarath at the time told you, if ever you want something from me, please let me know, I'll fulfill it. And she said, this is the time now to get those two bones. What are those two bones? And the first bone, you tell that Bharat would become the king. And the second one, Ram will be banished to the forest for 14 years. Anyway, that's what happened, and it was totally unexpected. And as a result of that, when Ram was leaving for the forest, Dasarath left his body due to his intense separation from Lord Ram. He was running after Ram's chariot. Then finally, Ram requested, please go back. So when he went back home, and the next morning, they found that he left his body. He died out of that intense separation from the Lord. So for 14 years, Ram stayed in the forest. And now there is another side of the story. There are two other sides of the story. There is a character called Ravana. Now, who is Ravana? The Lord had two gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay. And Jai and Vijay desired that they could give the taste of Virarasa, the medal of chivalry, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because in Vaikuntha, this medal the Lord cannot experience. Because medal of chivalry is experienced out of fighting. Now in Vaikuntha, we fight with the Lord. In reality, who can fight with the Lord? But because we desired that, that desire was fulfilled also in the form of a curse. And the curse was that they will take birth in the earth planet in three yugas as three demons. And they would and the Lord would appear to kill them. So these two gatekeepers, Joy and Vijay, in Satya Yuga became Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. In Treta Yuga became Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And in Dwapar Yuga, Shishupal and Dantavakra. So these two devotees of the Lord, being cursed, appeared as Joy and appears as Ravan and Kumbhakarna. So Ravan became invincible due to the blessings of Lord Shiva, that nobody could kill him. But when he was asking for the bones, he thought the human beings are so insignificant, there is no need to even mention about them. So he decided not to mention about the human beings. He says Daitas, Danavas, Devas, Kinnaras, Gandharvas. He mentioned everything. but he didn't mention
human.
A human being. So this is how the Lord plays his pastimes, in such a wonderful, making such wonderful arrangements. So the Lord appeared, therefore, as a human being, Lord Ramcha. And what did Ravan do? Ravan stole Sita Devi, Lord Ramchandra's eternal consort, when they were in the forest. On the 13th year, that happened. The last year of the Elephant. And Ravan kidnapped Sita and took her to his capital, Sri Lanka. It was a city of gold. And it was 100 yojanas away from the southern tip of Indian subcontinent. One yojana is 8 miles, so it was 800 miles away. But there was a bird, a very capable celestial bird called Sampati. And Sampati had a vision, so he could see even 800 miles away. And he could see that Sita was in captivity. Now to bring the message of Sita to make sure that Sita was there, there was Ramchandra wanted to confirm that. And in order to confirm that, Hanuman jumped at 800 miles. So, and then he found out that Sita was there. And not only he found out about Sita, he plundered, single-handedly plundered the capital of Ravana. He killed 3 generals, including Ravana's son, Prahas. And in their entire army, these 3 battalions of army was destroyed just by one person. So this is what happens when a devotee becomes empowered by the Lord. Apparently it seems to be impossible, but when the Lord empowers somebody, then impossible becomes possible. And not only that, he even burnt the city of Lanka. It was a golden city. And the city burned, and there was a river of gold flowing. Because when the city was burning, the gold was melting. And a river of gold was flowing. So Hanuman brought the news of Sita. Hanuman could actually carry Sita on her back, on his back. He proposed, "Come, I will take you back." Sita refused. He says, for 2 reasons. One reason is I can't touch any other man besides my husband. And the second reason is that if I live like that, this will be a disgrace for Ramchandra. That he could not save his wife. Somebody else had to do it for him. So we can see how noble his personality is. So now it has been confirmed that Sita was there in Lanka, which was 800 miles away. So the consideration was how to cross the ocean. Then it was decided that they would build a bridge. Now mind you, 800 miles long bridge. You know how long it took them to build that bridge? It took only 5 days. The first day, they built 14 miles. The second day, 20 miles. Third day, 21 miles. Fourth day, 22 miles. And the third day, 23 miles. And the bridge was completed. Did you add them together? 14, let's do that. 14 plus 20?
34.
34 plus 21? 34 plus 55. 55 plus 22? 77. 77 plus 23? 100. So the bridge was built, and then they went across the bridge. And the battle ensued. Ravan had the most sophisticated army, military force, with such sophisticated weapon that they could fight with the demigods. And the monkeys were fighting with sticks and stones. There were only 7 human beings fighting on behalf of Lord Ramchandra. That was Ramchandra, Lakshman, Vibhishan, Ravan's brother who joined Ramchandra, and Vibhishan had 4 associates. They are Rakshasas, but they assumed the human form and fought for Ramchandra. So these were the 4 human beings, and the rest were all monkeys. But who are these monkeys?
Demigods,
empowered by the Lord himself. And you know what happened at the end of the day? They naturally won. Jatra Jogeshwara Krishna, Jatra Partha Dhanurja. When the Lord is there with his associate, with his devotees, the victory is bound to be there. So they won. But many monkeys died. Many monkeys died. So after the battle was over, they were celebrating. Vibhishan was coronated on the throne. And Indra, the demigod, the king of the demigods, also came to take part, along with the other demigods. So Indra very humbly proposed to the Lord that, "My Lord, what can I do for you?" So Lord Ramchandra said, "Well, if you really want to do something for me, just revive all the monkeys those who are dead." Indra said, "That's not within my ability. But if you empower me, then I can do it. Because by your mercy, everything is possible." And so all the monkeys were brought back to life. So this is another thing. When you fight for the Lord and lose your life, don't worry. The Lord will revive you and give you the eternal life. So this is how the Lord performed his pastimes. And in these pastimes, you see, pastimes are like a drama. It's not really real. Lord Ramchandra is playing the pastimes as if like a drama. Like dramas are played on a stage. They're assuming different roles, the different characters, different actors and actresses, assume different roles, and they play those roles. So here, that is the case. The Lord assumes a certain role, and his associates play in the same drama, assuming different roles. And the drama actually has 2 purposes. The one aspect of the drama is, one purpose of the drama is entertainment. And the other aspect of the drama is education. A good drama must have an important message to come. And then drama has a conflict. The more the conflict, better the drama. So here the conflict takes place between the hero and the villain. The Lord is the hero and the demons are the hero. And there is a conflict. See what a wonderful drama the Lord plays. Whatever he plays is perfect. And did you entertain? Did you get the entertainment? Wasn't it? And did you learn something? Okay, so, and this is the purpose of the Lord's pastime. Thank you all very much. All glory.